The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money.
Welcome to Money and Mission, here on Holy Family Radio, WHYM, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on the foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are helping you to live out what you really feel called to in your heart? There's so much peace of mind when you can sense that your money is aligned with your values and convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there is so much potential for anxiety and worry when you sense that that alignment isn't present.
That's right, James, but that can be easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing, possibly even scary.
Yeah, that's right. And when you're confused or if you're scared, you're not making good decisions.
Not really.
And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be, and it can hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, welcome to episode 82 of Money and Mission. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. Each week, in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events, so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And then we'll get to the weekly puzzler.
Yeah.
That's right. That's my favorite part of the show.
The big one.
We have no idea if that puzzler is going to be interesting to you or anybody, but it's kind of interesting to us.
That's right.
Most of them are.
And it's hard to find new ones after, because I keep finding the same ones when I look.
That's right. You know, after you've come up with 82 puzzlers,
yeah.
You start running into these issues of anyway. That could be a new puzzle. You know, what's a new puzzle?
Yeah.
I don't know, that's a good question.
We need a new puzzle. Well, let's jump into our week in review. Let's see, we got a few news highlights here. Which one would you like to start with this week?
These are all depressing.
I know. I told you that Joe Wagner. I did put a good one at the end, though. So.
Well, so U.S. private payrolls post the largest drop in more than 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have this thing where we always project. Did we create new jobs as an economy, or did we lose jobs?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of an indicator. You know, is our economy growing or is it not growing? Are we creating new jobs or not? So,
sure.
So whenever we say, hey, very cool, the month is over, and we created all these new jobs, and of course the market gets excited, and the markets go up because everybody's excited about the fact that we had a growth in our economy. But
we do have some conflicting metrics, I'd say.
How do you have conflicting metrics? I mean, private payrolls dropped by 32,000 in November.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess everyone was forecasting, or you know, economists were forecasting a gain of 10,000.
Yeah.
That's a huge miss.
And there was a little fog, I guess, around those numbers because the government shut down, not getting official data. I think a lot of this came from ADP.
Yeah. And ADP is different because ADP is actually doing the payrolls.
That's right.
So it's not like a forecast, but it's hey, this. Now, as I understand, ADP runs about 30% of the payrolls in the country.
I think that's about right.
Mm-hmm. So 30% is a good sample. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, hey, this is the whole economy, but it's a sample.
But I thought it was interesting that they said that small businesses were the ones hit the worst, and that they actually shed 120,000 jobs, while actually medium and larger firms actually slightly added to their headcount.
Well, that kind of makes sense,
right? Because larger firms maybe have deeper pockets, a little bit more financial capacity to navigate through things like rising costs due to everything from inflation to tariffs.
And they can pivot more, right?
They can pivot
more. These economic headwinds. Mm-hmm. And also can see the fact that, you know, let's think small town America, small right. businesses,
right.
people are strapped, yep. spending less locally.
That's right. Yeah.
And that domino effect.
And that domino effect. That's right. You ever see those dominoes? It's like when somebody hits the first one, boink, you know, and all the dominoes fall.
Oh, yeah. They're cathartic YouTube videos. That's right.
Well, an economy is kind of like that, right? You know, the first one falls and everything's so interconnected, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
And then I guess we can get to the really depressing news. And I honestly think that this is the biggest deal.
Well, it is a big deal.
I mean, we do talk about, you know, it is on the news, but I just think people don't care as much about our national debt as they should.
Yeah.
And I've said it before that whether if you're on the right or on the left, Republican, Democrat, everyone wants to get their policies through. They want to pay for their priorities, but no one's getting anything done if we're bankrupt and we don't got money to pay for it. So we need to fix that first, and then we can talk about policy.
That is a very good point. But to actually pay for it. I mean, so what's the number now? $38 trillion.
Over $38 trillion for yeah. federal
and I think
debt.
You know, I think the thing that happens is that the number you just sort of get numb to the number.
Well, let's pause and let me read this headline. It's here from Fortune. It's 2 months into our new fiscal year mm-hmm. for our government, and our federal government is already spending more than $10 billion
a week
just servicing the national debt, just paying the interest.
Just paying the interest.
Yep.
So if you do not add a single penny to the overall debt, $10 billion a week.
That's right.
That's right. A lot of money.
And I'm seeing here from this article that we're already consuming 15% of all federal spending for the current fiscal year.
Just on interest. Yeah. Now, the issue, of course, see, this becomes a rock and a hard place because if the Fed comes along and cuts interest rates to ease that burden, then it actually makes it easier for everybody else to borrow money at the same time. And it makes it easier for the government to keep borrowing money. And that generates inflation.
That's right. Right? And I seen in one article that it might, some of the dovish leaning Fed mm-hmm. governors, it might have them vote for a rate cut.
Yeah.
But with inflation still up, I understand the job numbers they're trying to get behind, but.
Yeah, just yeah.
It's a sticky situation.
It's a sticky situation, and it's sticking around too. But it's not just federal debt.
No, it's what local, state,
local.
What about our households?
Households,
yeah.
Business debt, massive. Where did I put that chart? I think I put it in the wrong. Total debt. If you add up all the total debt and you compare it to overall GDP. So GDP is one of those numbers that's really hard to picture, but it's just, you know, if you picture all households being in a bucket and all government being in a bucket and then all businesses being in a bucket. And
which all the same principles apply. The
same principles apply, right? You just have four, pretend they're cash registers, right? And you have four big cash registers out there. And all you're doing is you're just saying, how much did all the households spend? And you add everything up. It's like all those cash registers, you know, the cash register for Joe, for your household and mine and Eric's and Joe's and all the Joe's.
Here, right? Yeah, health station. Right.
You add up everything they've spent and then add up everything the government spends and then add up everything all the businesses spend and add up everything that all the farms spend. So you have four basic buckets. That is gross domestic product. It's just a total at the end of the year. So when debt is like total debt, if we say we add up all federal debt, all state and local debt, all household debt, and all business debt, it would be 250% of GDP.
Oof.
Now, in practical terms, all that means is that if everybody in our country, if we all manage to get everybody together and say, we want to pay off our debt. Across the board, we wouldn't pay off our debt. That means that for 2.5 years, we would take all of our income collectively and do nothing but just pay off debt. 2.5 years.
I think that was a comment that Bernie Sanders made about 10 years ago. He said, if we do 90% for 2 years, we'll be good.
Yeah.
But how are you going to get everybody to pay 90%?
Because if you're doing that, then nobody's eating. Right. That is called a depression.
Like you said, a rock and a hard place, right?
All right. Yeah.
Well, let's get to
Well, there's a principle, though, involved, right? There's a biblical principle. The borrower, the Bible says, is the servant to the lender.
That's right.
And you know, we go out and we borrow all this money across our country, and then we say, wow, you know, look how much wealth we've created. And we actually really haven't, right? We just created a lot of servitude.
That's right.
Okay. I'd say
a little less than 2 minutes. Maybe we can
You want to do a positive thing.
I wanted to give it to Joe.
All right.
Because I figured we got less than 2 minutes. Okay.
I have more depressing things to talk about. But go ahead. What's your positive thing?
Well, Joe, one good thing is that here in the Harrisburg area, they have announced recently that next year they're bringing back the U.S. Navy Blue Angels. Yay.
The Blue Angels are bringing their show back to Harrisburg.
I think that's an awesome thing. I love fighter jets. I love military. I love the air shows. I like going to those. And I think that's something great to bring back to Harrisburg. We're always talking about rising prices and debt and everything else. So let's get together and watch some of our heroes fly around.
Is anybody going to be playing a steel guitar?
You could probably ask if there's an opening.
Yeah, I ask if there's an opening.
And maybe they'll let you come up. And
somehow every event is just wrong if there's no steel guitar. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, but it says here that they're coming to the Harrisburg International Airport May 23rd through the 24th. Okay, and that'll be their fourth stop on the show. And the show will feature the FA-18 Super Hornets, which, you know, that's pretty cool. And they're honoring America's 250th anniversary and the Blue Angels' 80th anniversary. So
Blue Angels have been doing this for 80 years.
Yeah, long time. Tickets aren't on sale yet, but I believe they have, what does it say here? Fans can currently sign up for early access alerts. So I'm going to go online and sign up.
Longer than I've been playing steel guitar.
Just by a couple years.
By a couple years. That's right.
Well, we're out of time in this segment, folks. Stick around. We'll be back with the rest of our show. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission, your own Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And I'm looking for...
the call sign.
The call, yeah, the sign that says WHYF. Because every time we do this, I forget.
A year and a half.
That's right. I forget.
And he gets caught in the moment.
That's right.
Every time.
And it's still, it's not here yet. So
it's coming.
We are getting settled into the new studios.
Which is awesome.
That's right. Over here at Trinity High School and WHYF Studios. This is very cool, Joe.
It's getting there.
That's right. So, we're talking about year-end planning.
Okay, like, today's show.
Like, the end of the year is coming up.
It sure is.
Which is why we're talking about year-end planning, right?
I think that's a pretty good time to do it.
But we're talking about year-end planning with a couple weeks to go, which is really the time you want to be doing it.
But remember, folks, if you're hearing this in July, just like Christmas music, you could be following these principles all the same.
You could follow these principles all year long. That's exactly right. That happens to me all the time, right? I love Christmas music, and you only get 4 weeks, really, to do it. And so each year, I'm just saying to people, can I play these songs in July? And every without fail, people say, yeah, just play it in July. Just play it in July. And then you know what?
When July rolls
around, and I'm going, you know, sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? You know, people are like, it's July. What are you doing?
That's not what you told me in December.
That's not what you told me in December. Oh, my goodness.
So true.
Well, year-end planning.
Planning is very important.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking ahead to 2026.
Why? What makes it so important?
Well, I think, you know, without a plan in place, I feel you're just going to spiral around and around and never really get to the destination that you want to get to.
Yeah, yeah.
As bad as you want to.
As bad as you want to. And it's not like every week is just a new week.
Or you might get there but hit a lot of bumps and waste a lot of time
right.
along the way.
Yeah. But it makes sense to periodically just sit and reflect on where you've been. And the end of the year, as you come up to the end of the year, that makes sense. But then there are really specific things.
And it's a good segue, too, right? We just had Thanksgiving.
Right.
So you got to reflect on how thankful you are.
That's right.
And now we have this lull before Christmas.
That's right.
Where let's start, you know, resetting, getting back on track mm-hmm. for next year.
That's right. I have a really cool idea about Thanksgiving, but we'll talk about that later,
okay.
later in today's episode. So, but there are things that happen at year end, that if you don't take care of them, you could really have a problem, or at least lose some opportunities.
Hmm.
Which is
I'm listening.
And for businesses, I mean, there are certain opportunities for people who are like self-employed professionals, like you know, who knows, real estate agents, or maybe you're an attorney with a small practice, or a CPA with a small practice. Or you have a small plumbing business. The list goes on and on, right, of people who have small businesses. There are opportunities that you might have that you should at least be reviewing. And as an individual, there are things as well. So we want to talk about that because as we get up to the end of the year here, it's not a good idea just to reflect on where you've been. But with a couple weeks left, what are some things you can actually be doing as the year closes out. So aside from businesses that focus on like strategic alignment, right, and just making sure that everything is lined up the way that they want it to, resource optimization, that's a really fancy word.
Yeah, but folks get caught up in the day-to-day tasks,
mm-hmm.
the job, business orders are due,
mm-hmm.
and really they don't see how inefficient they might have become.
Yeah. A reality check can help you at the end of the year to decide if in your business, if you're over-committing resources in one area, is your budget out of whack for where you thought you were going to be for the year? And year-end is a good time to be looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, because you're coming down to the end of the year, right? And you can see how things have been playing out. But then... So financial management, of course, tax management, a lot of things
yes,
tax-wise.
That could be a big deal.
A lot of things tax-wise are tied to the calendar year, right? December 31st is coming up. And so you want to make sure to be paying attention to those things. We'll talk about that here over the next couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Risk management.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right. Looking at insurance policies.
Because, you know, throughout the year, over the years, mm-hmm. but like you said, at least once a year, you want to review these things,
review
if not more things. Often.
That's right.
But your life changes, you mm-hmm. know, circumstances change, your business might change.
The performance of your vendors may be different.
That's right.
Maybe some vendor fell down on the job throughout the year, etc. So having a space and time like that gives you a framework for accountability and just understanding and assessing how things are going in the business plan. That's for businesses, right? Big, small, whatever. It's a good time of year to be making those kinds of assessments. For individuals and families, there is the same principle, right? But a different set of details.
Okay.
But taking time to just, again, review where you've been and to check some of those year-end boxes can help. It helps your stress level. I think, at some level, or it can.
So kind of like what we do with our clients during mm-hmm. annual review meetings,
right,
where we're looking at their individual situation, you can apply that same principle to your business,
mm-hmm.
to where you can sit down and go mm-hmm. over, hey, let's review all of our policies.
That's right.
How is our workplace benefits? How's that shaken up?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Because I see that's kind of what we do, but on an individual and family level each year.
Individual and family level. That's right. I mean, after all, remember, businesses are made up of
people.
Yeah. Just groups of people getting together.
Nonprofits as well.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right.
So Joe's sitting there. He's real.
That's right. We check all the time, right? Because
every Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. Because we see, you know, Holy Family Radio. Wow, it's an organization. Well, actually, it is. But that's just people being organized for a purpose.
That's right.
And when that group of people, again, if it's you individually, if it's your family, if it's you as an organization, you can, again, just assess your goals. Have you been achieving your goals? It brings down the stress level, right? Mm. If we never take time to review, and we never take time to say, hey, look, this deadline is coming up, and there's things we should be paying attention to, that stuff just stays in our head, and we all get it. It's like the elephant in the room. You know it should be done.
Right.
You know it.
Right. Right?
You know it.
And you feel bad about it.
And you feel bad. But yeah. No, it just kind of goes. And then, you know, if the deadline goes past and you get into, like, let's say 12/31 rolls around and you just never did that. And you get into January. Then what do? I'm going to do it this year.
Yeah.
So do something about it now. Make sure you take time for that year-end review. Manage your investments, avoid surprises,
right?
Optimize tax savings, charitable contributions. Again, we're going to cover all of this in the next couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the thing about reducing stress.
Absolutely.
I mean, one of the great stress reduction exercises that I engaged in over this past weekend. Really?
Oh, I know what it was.
What was it? I was making cookies with my almost 3-year-old granddaughter.
That's a good stress reliever.
There is nothing quite like a 3-year-old, you know, squishing butter into into cookie dough to help relieve stress, right? What a great way to disconnect. And just kind of bring it down mm-hmm. to reality.
No, I think that's really important. Like the why, right? Well, what's the ultimate why? And we talk about it often.
Well, the ultimate why is that we're stewards of God's resources.
That's right.
And we don't own this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're managers of God's stuff.
That's right.
And so when we look at optimizing resources, reviewing how are things going, setting goals, we have to remember that we are entrusted with growing God's stuff.
Hmm.
And so it's not just us.
And we stress all the time, right? Have a plan, make mm-hmm. a plan. It is really important, but we all must not lose sight of the fact that we have to have faith and trust in God's plan.
That's right.
And that we cannot control the future, but we can prepare for it.
We can prepare for it. That's right. And often these things sort of feed on themselves, right? Because when you do this kind of review and year-end planning, then you are more prepared.
For sure.
And because you're more prepared, then things happen that wouldn't have happened if you didn't prepare.
That's right. Right?
You could have fun with that going around.
And blindsided by it, too.
That's right. Yeah. So a good financial plan and a good review doesn't just do things like lower your taxes. It increases your availability to be used by God.
That's right. Well, I think we're almost out of time in this segment, so it's time to switch gears.
It's time for The Weekly Puzzler.
It's time for my favorite part of the show, the weekly puzzle.
Yay.
The last puzzle we did mm-hmm. was a lot of fun.
Mm.
Here it goes. You see a boat filled with people. The boat has not sunk. But when you look back, you don't see a single person on the boat. Right? You see a boat filled with people. It has not sunk, but when you look back, you don't see a single person on the boat. Why?
Why?
Because they're all married.
And they're not single. They're look not at single. Joe's reaction. That was a good one. Cheesy, but good.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, this week's. Okay, mm-hmm. So a plane crashes exactly on the border of United States and Canada.
Exactly.
Right on the border.
Exactly on the border, yeah.
So where do you bury the survivors? Plane crashes exactly on the border.
On the border.
So who, United where, States or Canada?
Canada, where do you bury the survivors?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you think you know the answer, send your answers to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we will read the correct answer to this puzzle on the show next week.
You have been listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And we're talking about year-end planning.
That's right.
Year-end review. There's so many reasons why it's a good thing to be doing that. But as we said, as we're closing out the first segment, is that, or the last segment anyway, is that we do this because we are stewards,
mm-hmm.
right? And the thing is, there's this fine line between writing out steps to solve a problem and worrying about the outcome.
Oh, for sure.
So having a good framework to do this kind of review and this kind of planning, having a good framework is so important. One of the best frameworks that I have ever encountered in my entire life was introduced to me by a man named Dr. John Rhodes. And the framework is called the ABCs framework. The ABCs framework.
I've heard of that in other ways, but I'm sure this is...
I think we've talked about it here on Money and Mission.
But oh, okay.
The ABCs, where A stands for accomplishments.
Uh-huh.
B stands for blessings. C stands for challenges. And S stands for steps.
The ABCs.
The ABCs.
I like it.
The ABCs framework of year-end planning.
Yeah, I think we did talk about it on the show a while back.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't even remember what episode it was. And that's okay, because we're better at this now than we were then anyway.
Don't listen to that.
Don't listen to that. That's right. Just stick with us on this one. So, you know, key benefits, really, of acknowledging your accomplishments. One, you can kind of boost your own motivation.
Sure.
Right.
Get some momentum out of it, right?
Yeah, yeah. You look at that and realize, right, because we get stuck in everyday stuff all the time. And you have these goals and you got this high level, hey, this is what I want to do, I'm gonna do this, and then life goes along and it's like you lose sight of the forest for all the trees.
That's right.
And it happens to everybody. So taking time to write down an acknowledgement, hey, look, there was something that got accomplished. It can kind of keep you from burning out.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying and you're paddling and paddling and paddling, you don't feel like you're going nowhere. Mm-hmm. Mentally, you might just say, ah.
That's right.
But if you see you're making progress.
That's right.
You might want to just paddle a little bit longer.
That's right. And especially when you write it down. If you write it down and you have almost a journal, right, of that kind of thing, you're writing it down, and you keep that, you can start looking back over the years and see, wow, you know, look where I've come. So, and that can increase your self-confidence and, you know, like we said a few minutes ago, it one thing feeds on another, right? When you start having that kind of positive momentum and recognizing that, then you also feel more motivated to get up and do it again.
You hear about that a lot with sports teams.
You do.
Yeah, they got the momentum behind them now.
That's right.
They're rallying, a three-game rally, things like that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what that means. It fosters gratitude.
It's an invisible force.
That's right. Yeah.
Called the Holy Spirit.
That's exactly right. But you know, it's exactly right. This is how God works through people, right? And we can see that happening when we acknowledge our accomplishments. But this line item here, that it fosters gratitude.
Yeah.
Which takes us kind of to the B, right? The blessings part. So we have ABCs.
And we are truly blessed to able to have these accomplishments in our lives.
That's right. So,
and be thankful for that.
Acknowledging your blessings is important because, well, it creates this perspective. We live in a world where people complain a lot. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
Oh, jeez. Yes, I have. Mighty.
Yeah. People complain, and it's so easy, and we get into this, like, downward spiral when our mental well-being is impacted when we complain a lot.
Yes. Have you ever heard the phrase, I heard someone say you should have the attitude of gratitude.
An attitude of gratitude. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So acknowledging our blessings, it's a tangible practice that shifts our focus from what we don't have or what we wish we had,
right,
to being thankful for what we do have.
So what are some ways to kind of practice that or to sharpen that sort of gratitude, would you say?
Well, you know, if you have this ABCs framework and you're writing things down, then you start writing down your blessings. Now, if you haven't ever done this,
and you see them, you read them over and over, it's right in front of you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You just do two or three, right, if you're doing this exercise. But I like using an Excel spreadsheet because spreadsheet your blessings, right? Of course, we do this all the time. But it's amazing to me if you start putting some stuff in it. The thing that's cool about a spreadsheet is that once the wheels start turning, the spreadsheet gets to be really, really long. And you start to recognize that I have an amazing amount of stuff to be thankful for. An amazing amount of blessings around me. The car started this morning. What a blessing. Right? My little granddaughter put her fingers in the butter when we were making all those cookies. What a blessing.
I thank God every day I wake up, my eyes open, and my feet hit the ground.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I had something to eat this morning. I am so thankful for that blessing.
Is this tying into what you were talking about Thanksgiving earlier? Or?
It is.
Okay, is that where we're going?
you kind of picked up on that, right? Yeah, you felt that. But really, when you do this year-end planning and you have a framework of ABCs, your accomplishments, your blessings, put it down, right? Write it down and save it somewhere. And you can keep coming back and doing it over and over and over again.
As an XLS file.
That's right. That's right. But if you start doing this, you know, share it like on social media and just tell people, hey, anybody who's reading this, make some notes in the comments about things you're thankful for and see if you can start a gratitude loop.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I've seen those.
And start.
Even if you don't participate, because I don't necessarily reply and share it around. But when I read that, it definitely gets me thinking.
But if you start it, you're participating. You are participating. So start a journal. Celebrate Thanksgiving with a spreadsheet. I mean, we're past Thanksgiving, but do this in your year-end review. Be aware of the present, right? If you're thinking too much about the future, you are prone to worry. And if you're thinking too much about the past, you are stuck, right? It's easy to get stuck. So be aware of the present, and that can help you to recognize blessings that are often overlooked. Celebrating your small wins, which you've already acknowledged your accomplishments. And so these are just a couple of action steps to take to really focus on those blessings.
So that's A and B.
That's A and B.
How about C?
Challenges. Oh, there always are.
Okay. Every day.
That's right.
We navigate them.
I mean, it's more and more of a challenge for me to get up. I turned 60 this year, right? Joe, you got a couple years on me, right? A few? Does it get any easier? No, it does not get any. So challenges, right? But this is where sometimes we get stuck, because I can feel all the stuff that needs to happen. just
instant lethargy.
Don't even want to think that. Yeah, just don't feel like getting out of bed, or just all this stuff. So what motivates you really to get up? The challenges are out there. So again, as we said, there's a fine line between writing things out and worrying about it. But when you get it out of your head and onto a piece of paper, this is a great opportunity for you to sit down in front of God and say, God, I do not understand how this is going to work, but this is not my plan. This is your plan.
Right. But seeing what's coming ahead can help you prepare for it.
Can help you
prepare mentally for it. Prepared, mm-hmm. Financially prepared.
That's right. And have a plan. Recognize the challenge. So doing that, I mean, it does promote, I think, at a certain level, personal growth as well. When you see the challenges that are out there,
you'll be more prepared the next time they come around.
That's right. You're increasing your own self-awareness, and you increase your communication with God.
And you're able to help mentor others.
And you help, and help lead others. Them down a, that's right.
A good path.
That's right. You start to realize that in spite of the challenge that's here, I mean, especially if you do this exercise over and over again, over a period of years, months, years, you start to recognize that some of those challenges, in hindsight, were not as much of a challenge as you thought they were.
Right. They were just unknown to you.
They were just unknown.
And you were scared.
Mm-hmm. And they have now become accomplishments.
That you're telling other people
that
about.
That you're telling other people.
That's right.
So when you start getting into that loop, right, then the challenges.
And it's a natural loop, right? Mm-hmm.
It is. It is a natural loop. But the challenge becomes, suddenly you start recognizing that at some point this challenge is going to be an accomplishment.
Which is
how
a blessing.
Which is a blessing, and how exciting is that?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And so the challenges start to become exciting because you can hardly wait to see how God's going to figure this one out, right? And what kind of an accomplishment that's going to be. I mean, even when you're looking at the challenge, you can kind of start looking and say, wow, 3 years down the road or a year down the road or whatever, and I'm looking back, what does this challenge look like when it is an accomplishment? And great things can happen there. So again, this framework, this ABC's framework of year-end review. Well, the last piece really is one that we can't miss here because we'll be out of time very shortly. But that is the S. So A, accomplishments, B, blessings, C, challenges, S, steps. Writing out the steps to overcome a challenge is important because it can make an overwhelming situation feel so much more manageable.
And in bite-sized chunks.
In bite-sized pieces. Mm-hmm. That's right. And that gives you, again, a clear record of whether your problem-solving skills need to be improved, lessons you've learned. It gives you something to look back on later and recognize that it was an accomplishment.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
And pray to give thanks for all the blessings.
That's exactly right.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here. We're out of time in this segment. When we come back, we'll finish out the ABCs with the part about steps. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Back to Money and Mission, where we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And this is Eric Terrio.
And we are talking about year-end planning.
That's right.
It was the end of the year.
It is December.
It is coming up. That's right. Seems like the thing we talk about in December. You just wouldn't talk about this in September or August.
Maybe give you just a little warning.
Yeah, July.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, we talked about this ABCs framework, accomplishments, blessings, challenges, and steps as a framework for reviewing at the end of year and doing year-end action steps and also kind of getting yourself in the mode of thinking about the year coming up. Did we talk about everything we should have under steps? I think so.
No.
No.
We just did the intro, but we want to talk about why for personal growth it's good and
that's right.
And some of those bullet points.
Well, when you write things down as a step,
mm-hmm.
a step that you're planning to take to overcome those challenges, again, you get clarity,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you've taken time to say, I'm going to do X, and you write it down. If you write it down and share it with somebody, I mean, you just don't give yourself any room to say, nah, just whatever I forgot about.
right?
But you create a little bit of a narrative as well when you say, this is what I'm going to do. You highlight lessons that you've learned, good stuff, steps, being specific. And, you know, the next time you do ABCs.
Because that's really what gets you through the challenges to accomplish the to successfully make those accomplishments
that's right.
To be blessed.
That's right.
So if you don't have proper steps in place, the ABs and Cs won't happen.
That's right. That's right. So it's all part of that. But we're coming up to the end of the year, and now we have to get specific, right? This is where steps.
And we've got to be smart about them, right?
And we do have to be smart because you will know if you're sitting and reviewing at year end whether or not the steps that you had laid out earlier in the year were smart or not. Whether they're specific, they're measurable, they're achievable, they're realistic, are they time-bound? You will know because you'll be sitting and reflecting, and you're also now thinking, my goodness, year-end is coming up, and there might be some things that I really need to do between now and year-end. Let's talk about a couple of those things. This is where we get into the weeds, and sometimes people say, oh, too much information.
Don't drag off in the fourth segment.
Yeah.
Stick with us.
That's right.
This is the important stuff. The meat and potatoes.
The meat and potatoes.
The rest was all concept.
You can talk and talk and talk, but if you never do anything, mm-hmm. then you just talked about it.
And you won't be in a different place than you are right now.
That's right. And then when January 1 rolls around, you're going to be setting resolutions.
Yeah.
It becomes that self-fulfilling prophecy where...
You know how they go.
Yeah, that's right. I have a resolution. I'm going to stop making resolutions.
He's going to break that too, Joe.
Don't worry. I'll make resolutions. And then I just broke it. Okay, never mind. Year-end steps. Okay, what can we do between now and the end of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Check to make sure that you have maximized your retirement plan contributions.
Very important.
Retirement plan contributions to your 401k, your 403b, etc. Now, you do have until April of next year to make IRA contributions for this year.
But that might throw off your budget unless you got some extra money around.
That's right. I mean, if you can do it this year, do it.
Right.
Get it done this year.
Uh-huh.
Stop playing that catch-up game. So do that between now and the end of the year. But to do that, you really have to look to see how much have you contributed so far this year.
Right.
And you should know whether you have a good record of that. If you are at a spot where maybe this year's income is off and you're going to be in a lower tax bracket, it might be a good time to think about converting an IRA to a Roth IRA.
Yeah. Or at least take advantage of being in that lower tax bracket.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. And so you could cry the blues about being in a lower tax bracket, or you could take advantage of it.
And make lemonade.
And make lemonade. That's right. Well, with a couple weeks left in the year, it's also a good time to look at how's income playing out for the year. Where do I think I'm going to be in terms of a tax bracket? What about required minimum distributions? Like, there is a big penalty if you don't take the required minimum distribution.
Uh-huh.
Big, big penalty. I said to somebody once, it's not really a required minimum distribution. It's just that if you don't take it, you'll get charged like 25% as a penalty.
Yes. And that's not including taxes.
Guess what? It's required.
Yeah.
It's required.
It's highly punitive if
that's
not.
That's right. And you know, of course, qualified charitable distributions feed into that. So if you're planning and you're doing that, you have a couple weeks left in the year to make it happen.
So you can satisfy your RMDs,
that's
do some
right.
good.
That's right. But don't run it all the way down to the end.
No.
Right? I mean, if you send money out of your IRA to a charity in your year end, what if the charity doesn't get the check on time and they don't get it cashed this year? Right? Or maybe it's an all-volunteer organization and the treasurer is on vacation.
Right.
And doesn't get your check until the end of January.
I mean, the IRS won't care.
The IRS doesn't care. So get it done. Get it done early. The earlier, the better. If you have any opportunities to do tax loss harvesting, that is really where you try to offset investment losses and investment gains and try to lower your tax bill by having good investment strategy like that. Again, don't wait till the last minute. This right. is the kind of thing you can
That's
do
really the important
all the way up until 12:30. But, you know, most financial advisors, accountants, et cetera, people that are involved in actually pushing the buttons to do this tax loss harvesting do not appreciate you calling them up on December 29th and saying, hey, can we hurry up and get this done?
That's I mean, calling your accountant on April 14th asking to file your taxes.
Yeah. Most accounts I know are going to say no. Call, do it when I told you to, which was much earlier in the year.
That's right.
So, but still, there's a couple weeks left and you have some time to do that. So these are possible year-end things. If you have a health savings account and you didn't get enough money into it for the year, that might be a good, but you have to review this.
Right.
So you have to know your stuff. You have to know your budget. And your spending, and that goes back to all the planning that we were talking about. Be a good manager of God's resources. At year end, it's a good time, again, to review this past year's spending and cash flow. This is where you...
And I think they should be doing that much more often, yeah. to be honest. Yeah. Make sure you're not wasting money.
That's right. I mean, this is where you look and say, how many times did I stop off and get fries?
Yeah. Or, you know, the Starbucks, right?
Yeah,
that adds right. up. They yeah. always use those in articles.
Yeah.
If you don't buy a Starbucks coffee a day, you can pay for X or whatever.
You could retire early.
Right, yeah, things that's like right. that.
If you invested that
three
money.
Month, in, 3 years earlier.
That's right. I don't need a ledger to tell me that I was eating too many fries.
Right.
Right? I mean, I can feel that. Okay. All right. Stay focused here. Updating your estate plan. Right, with a few years left, a few weeks left. Why do I keep saying a few years? You've got a few weeks left in the year. So pull out some of those documents, your trust documents.
And I'm sure it's been attorney. A while since you've looked mm-hmm. at them.
That's right.
If you have them. If you don't have them, get them. If you had them a long time ago, you need to get them updated.
You might need to get them updated. But it's a good time to review. And because you're coming up at year end and you're just thinking about reflecting on what you've done, where you've been, and where you're headed, and so take advantage of this space. Assessing your insurance policies and your beneficiaries.
For sure.
Right. Assessing beneficiaries is one of those things that is it sneaks up on you. Right? I mean, if life changes and you should be updating your beneficiaries, you just, most often you get excited. There's new children that are being born into the family. Maybe there's a death that occurs, but, you know, things happen. And in the emotion of that moment, I mean, most people that I know, when you know, let's say there's a grandchild that's born or a new child or whatever, most people are not like going over to hold the wonderful new baby and saying, oh, I'm going to update my will. I mean, that's not what you're thinking about, right? You're thinking about the baby. So anyway, so now here we are at year end and you've got a space of a couple of weeks and you're thinking, you're doing your ABCs, pull out the beneficiaries and just make sure that things are where you want them to be.
Absolutely.
It is almost painless to update a beneficiary form. Like, it doesn't cost you anything.
A lot of times you can do it online, depending what type of account it is.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
But still, we see situations, not all the time, but frequently, where people like the beneficiary is not, oops, it's not what I thought it was. It
might be an ex-spouse and they're remarried.
That's right.
Yeah. Things like that.
I actually had a situation several decades ago now where that exact thing happened, right? Mm. I mean, these folks had been separated and then they got back together and, you know, God did some wonderful things in their life and brought their relationship back together again. But while they were separated, they had changed their beneficiaries on some pensions. And then deaths occurred and everybody discovered that beneficiaries had never been changed back. And that was a story and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So check it. It really takes almost no energy to check. And it doesn't cost anything. So just do it. Make it a step that you are going to do, right?
That's right. And we gave folks a long checklist there.
That was a long checklist.
That's right.
The danger in any checklist like that is that you wind up at a spot where you put faith in the checklist rather than the creator.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So don't lose sight of the fact that you have faith in the creator. The checklist is taking care of business. And while you're taking care of business, you are praying, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, right? My strength and my redeemer. And in that way, God has an opportunity to come to life right there in the middle of your planning.
That's right.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great episode. And that was part one. So stay tuned next time for part two.
Part two of year-end planning.
Well, that's right, folks. Thanks for listening this week. This was Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.